The Boss Hole Chronicles are brought to you by Real Good Ventures, a talent optimization firm helping organizations diagnose their most critical people and execution issues with world-class analytics. Make sure to check out all the resources in the show notes and be sure to follow us and share your feedback. Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back, everyone. This is another special episode of the Boss Hole Chronicles featuring the greatest partner on the planet, my buddy and partner in crime, Mr. John Brower. Hey, John.
Sarah, it is a real good day to be working with you. Every day is a real good day to be working with you, but thanks for the introduction.
Agree. I feel the same way. We have some great subject matter today, and it comes about because some of our listeners have asked for more specifics. Can you expand on some of this stuff a little bit? You know, how'd you come up with the term boss hole? All that good stuff. But today's feature topic is the top seven ways to tell if you're a boss hole.
Right.
There are probably many more, but these were the seven that came to our minds in preparation for our episode today.
The most critical. That's right.
That's right. And, you know, it's worth noting that when we started this podcast and these discussions around boss holes, we wanted our audience to include, and it includes people who fall victim to boss holes. It includes people who have been boss holes, people who may currently be boss holes and be unaware that they're boss holes. But at the end of the day, the ultimate goal of these messages and these podcasts is to help people find more fulfillment, more success, more joy in their work. And in order for that to happen, you know, some of us have to do some work. We have to do some work on ourselves. So right. this particular topic today is for people who may, you know, maybe they have a question mark in their mind, like, wow, what do people really think of me? Am I doing a good job as a boss? We're going to help you figure that out today.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes I think we have listeners out there who, and we love having our guests. I mean, the boss hole stories are wonderful. We have a bunch of those. We've had some incredible subject matter experts, but quite frankly, you're going to get a little bit of a glimpse into the world that Sarah and I get to experience every day. One, just the opportunity for us to work together and to apply our trade, if you will, to managers and supervisors that are struggling. Mm-hmm. This is what we get to do. So hopefully this is something that you'll be able to take away, or some tidbits you'll be able to take away. But the other thing, I can't help but think, Sarah, that we've got some managers and supervisors out there that listen to this and are thinking, oh my gosh, is that me? Am I doing that to my people? And that's great. I mean, that you're even asking that question. So yeah, this one's going to be really helpful for a lot of true boss holes or burgeoning boss holes, if you will.
Emerging boss holes. We have emerging boss, leaders.
Not burgeoning, emerging boss. Emerging. Yeah, sorry. Better word. Sounds like it's springtime. We have our emerging boss holes coming out now in warmer weather. Okay, go ahead.
Right. Sorry. Just add water, let the sun shine. Okay, so we have these seven ways to tell if you're a boss hole. Let's just start with number seven. Your people are leaving. John, give us your take on that.
Well, I think that all too often our metrics and the things that teams or organizations look at are sort of the traditional ones. And we're going to talk about performance in just a little bit. But why are we not looking at retention or turnover rates? You know, a classic example or telltale sign. If we've got a boss hole, it's hard for you to keep good talent on your team. And typically boss holes will equate that to, well, they're just not a good fit, or, you know, they just really didn't step up to the plate. No, we all know that the number one reason people leave organizations is their manager, but it can also be the number one reason that they stick around. But if you've got people leaving, if you've got turnover on your team, you might just be a boss hole.
That's true. Okay, good one. Number six, your people are not emotionally engaged in their work. They're not engaged.
Right. So Sarah, take us through that one, because engagement is a unique, it's something we all talk about, but I'm not sure people really understand what true engagement is. So take us through that one.
All right, John, we'll do that. Engagement really is emotional commitment to the work at hand. And I mean, the simplest way I can think about it is this is a person who wakes up in the morning looking forward to what's ahead for them in the day, looking mm-hmm. forward to pulling into that parking spot, looking forward to walking into the office, sitting down or grabbing their coffee and getting into their routine, because they know there's something good that's going to happen and they're going to be caused in the matter of creating that good thing happening.
Right.
That's how I think of it.
Well, I love your description though. You often say you can really kind of gauge your own engagement by when you do pull in the parking lot and you either are excited or discouraged by maybe seeing a specific automobile because you know somebody's there.
Right.
I mean,
right.
you get that pit in your stomach. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to deal with this person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Having lived through the last year and all the challenges that the pandemic has brought, you know, I just can't imagine. I feel really grateful myself not to be in a position where, you know, I'm pulling into a parking lot and feeling that pit in my stomach.
Right.
That's a horrible feeling. And there's so many reasons why that disengagement happens and why people lose their emotional commitment. They're either disempowered, they're disenchanted, they feel misunderstood or undervalued, they feel anonymous. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things I think about when it comes to engagement. Engagement is a term that's now used like team building. You know, it's so overutilized that it may not even hold specific meaning for people.
I think that our listeners need to know that when we're talking about engagement, as you said, emotional commitment to the organization and its goals, we can actually measure that. We can diagnose mm-hmm. a person or a team's or an organization's level of engagement specific mm-hmm. to job fit, manager fit, team fit, and organizational fit. So we have a tool called the Employee Experience Survey that we use. And what is really different about that is that we can pinpoint specific areas that managers can focus on to actually increase engagement. However, if you don't have that data, you can talk all you want all day long about engagement, but if you don't have the data to actually diagnose where you stand, you can make some wild assumptions that, yeah, sure, my people are engaged, mm-hmm. but you will never know it because those gut feelings are usually wrong.
That's so true. All right, are we ready for number five?
Number five, or the next one on the list, is the lack of trust. Sarah, take us through that one.
Well, you may be a boss hole if, in fact, you don't have trust on your team, you don't trust your people, and you recognize that they don't trust you or trust each other. Trust is, as we know, the very, very solid foundation of a healthy, cohesive, high-functioning team. It is very difficult to achieve. It sounds simple, but it's based in something that many leaders and managers and supervisors don't have experience with, and mm-hmm. that's vulnerability. Vulnerability is when you say, wow, I really messed that up. I don't have the answer to that. I promised you this, but I didn't deliver on that. Or right. gosh, you know what? Your idea is much better than mine. Vulnerability is, and you know it when you see it. It's almost like a humility that a person has. And so many people just don't know about vulnerability or don't know that they don't demonstrate that
right.
because they're too busy kind of protecting their turf or trying to look good or, you know, defending their idea or their mm-hmm. belief. So when there's no trust, you may in fact be a boss hole because it's your job as the leader of the team. It's your job to build that trust and mm-hmm. to do so by modeling that vulnerability, making it safe for people to make a mistake, to tell you the truth without you losing your mind, if that makes sense.
Oh,
anything you want to add to that, John?
Well, it makes total sense. And I think about the work that you do with so many of the teams from our clients' organizations and helping them to go through the process. And it starts with trust. And even the foundation underneath that, especially for leaders, is going to be self-awareness. So if you are lacking self-awareness, you are therefore lacking some insight in order to be able to establish vulnerability-based trust with the people around you. I'm reminded of a quotation that was shared with me years ago that it's when I got into my first management job that somebody said it is a greater compliment to be trusted than to be loved. And all too often people get into management thinking, well, I just want my people to like me. I want them to love me. And management is not a popularity contest. However, right. if they trust you, if they trust your judgment, if they trust you as a person of integrity, that's a totally different story. You could be a complete hard-nosed person about a particular topic. But if your people trust you, that's a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. And I know of a CEO right now who just wants to be the good buddy of everybody in the organization. And, you know, while there may be this real friendship or what I would consider to be superficial camaraderie, they don't trust him. They don't trust mm-hmm. his judgment. They don't trust the way he's making decisions. And rightly so, because he's making some horrendous business decisions, but he wants to be the most popular guy in the organization.
Well, if that's the case, John, then he may be experiencing our next challenge to mm-hmm. way to know you're a boss hole when no one is talking mm-hmm. or when you're doing all the talking.
Right.
This is a fun one to unpack. You want to start, John?
Yeah, I think if you are... We have a saying that feedback is the oxygen of engagement. I mean, that's really a critical thing to think about in an organization, considering we just talked about engagement. So feedback is critical. However, a lot of managers think that feedback is a one-way street. They're really good at giving feedback, but they're terrible at receiving it and they don't solicit it. So in that case, you could very well be a boss hole. Managers who fail to understand the need for constant, ongoing, and authentic feedback will ultimately find themselves in the boss hole zone because nobody will want to talk to them. So think about mm-hmm. that. You have low engagement and you have low trust. You're going to have very, very compromised communication, if any at all, or people mm-hmm. are just telling you what you want to hear. Does that make sense?
It does to me. Just this week, I was hearing a leadership team express their frustration about how their weekly all staff meeting, the whole enterprise comes together for a meeting.
Right.
How they'll put a question out there and they hear crickets. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, that's something to really pay attention to. Number one, there are behavioral styles and differences in how people process information. So we can't just expect everyone on the team to jump in with an answer the minute they hear a question. Some people right. need a little time to think about it, and they're not going to feel confident speaking up until they've had time to process and formulate their response.
Right.
So giving the prompt in advance is always a good idea. But even more than that, it's like there's this blame placed upon the employees for not being willing to speak up. You know, they'll speak elsewhere. They'll speak in the hallway. They'll speak right. in the break room or when they're on their one-on-one Zooms offsite. But the responsibility for that lack of participation and communication in that setting ultimately falls on the leadership.
Yep.
So you may be a boss hole if, in fact, you hear crickets when you ask those important questions. You may not have done enough to establish that psychological safety
right.
and also, you know, to reinforce that people speaking up is important and would be rewarded.
Absolutely. Even the dissenting voices, that needs Correct. To be encouraged. It can't all be the same sort of message. People that are willing to challenge the status quo should be encouraged and celebrated because that's how organizations are going to grow. So speaking of growth, Sarah, one of the other telltale signs that you may be a boss hole is the lack of performance or substandard performance from your team. What do you have to say about that?
Well, if the number one indicator of success for a team is results, if you're not getting those results, you know, there's a problem and the manager or boss needs to diagnose and manage and address that. Mm-hmm. So I think lack of results is easy. It's easy to throw people under the bus. I mean, it's certainly been worked inside organizations, been a part of many teams and even worked with teams where, you know, what they try to do is pinpoint, you know, where mm-hmm. the process broke down. And I'm sure there are always process and market considerations. There are many things that are outside of our control when it comes to getting results. But at the end of the day, what I see more often than that is people not addressing issues on the team, people mm-hmm. not taking action to right and correct course where the conversations and tough stuff need to be happening.
And I think to that point, this is where we bring in the tools of our trade. You know, mm-hmm. It's very easy to sit back and say that this team is not performing. Okay, well, what does that actually mean? And isn't that really smoke from a different fire? Because what that is, it's a lagging indicator. Well, let's go back upstream and look at the leading indicators. Do we actually understand specifically what the performance expectations of the team are? Then mm-hmm. have we correctly positioned and aligned people on that team with the right head, heart, and briefcase to be able to do that work. And if you don't know the answer to that, then you really don't understand the origin of team performance. So let's back up. Let's not make it so myopic and so one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Performance has to be looked at through the lens of job fit, manager fit, team fit, and does that team understand its objectives, and are the objectives and the team aligned so the team can actually accomplish them?
Yes. Well said, John. It is a close cousin to our next way to tell if you're a bosshole. I call this one playing it safe.
Okay.
Being unwilling to step into the danger and address very commonly known issues on the team, or even issues with your co-leader or partner in the business. Mm-hmm. John, you and I encountered that earlier this year where, you know, there was a lot happening in the organization, but what was most difficult for people is the fact that the two big cheeses weren't effectively relating and being good partners.
Right.
It really stifled and challenged activity and growth in the rest of the organization. So playing it safe and not addressing issues that are known on the team. And a good example I can think of is back some number of years ago, I was working on a team and we were each, you know, required to achieve a certain number of hours of billable time. And consistently, quarter after quarter, there was one person on the team who never came close to that goal. Mm-hmm. And we'd huddle up as a team. We weren't selling things. This was a different kind of service we were providing. That person was never addressed. No one ever spoke about how others on the team were outperforming their goals and actually, overachieving on their goals. There was never any addressing of that issue. And it just felt like a burden and a weight on the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the impression that I got was that our leader was just too weak and unwilling to have a tough conversation with that person. It was a pretty strong personality who was not carrying her part of the load,
Who was underperforming?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So all that did was minimize the trust and respect on the team. And that particular leader, not your typical boss hole, but he was a boss hole because he had no trust and respect from the team. He just wasn't doing what he needed to do to boost morale, to boost engagement on this team by addressing that one issue. I mean, resentment, frustration really became evident over time.
It impacts everything else we've talked about: trust, engagement, overall performance of the team. I mean, it's like a disease that can permeate the team itself. So, Sarah, I want to get back to something that you said, and I oftentimes hear you say this when you're working with some of our clients, is stepping into the danger. Can you just expand on that a little bit? I know what it means, but I think it's very profound because managers need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and that lack of comfort often comes when we're outside of our normal space or perhaps having to address something that feels very dicey. Tell us more about stepping into the danger.
Sure thing, John. I need to just declare up front that stepping into the danger, that's a phrase and a concept I borrow from Pat Lencioni and his work through the Table Group, overcoming the five dysfunctions of a team, specifically focusing on the role of the leader, mm-hmm. being willing to get uncomfortable and just embrace that discomfort is the pathway to better answers, better results, better performance, better engagement. There's just so much nuance to that, but it's kind of a simple term. And you're right. Many of us are sort of hardwired not to want to do that. And then if you draw into our experience, the things we experienced in our houses growing up, of us, I know in my house, cupboard doors slammed and loud voices were raised, and I have become very acclimated and very naturally lean into tougher conversations.
Right.
In fact, I got to watch that a lot of the time. But others have had a very opposite experience. And so when voices raise or criticism is interpreted, like you're telling me something bad about myself, they shut down.
Right.
But it shouldn't prevent us from telling the truth. And I think stepping into the danger can be equated with just being honest and candid and truthful, mm-hmm. And being real so that we can solve a problem, get to a better answer, put the what to the side.
Yeah.
That's what I think we're talking about in stepping into the danger. I would say too, John, as you described that discomfort, I was thinking, you know, being a manager or a supervisor doesn't always have glory and fun, and it's not an easy job. And
at
the end of the day, you don't get a lot of thanks and praise for that. You get to hear all the bad stuff. Quick plug for Pat Lencioni's most recent book, came out in June of 2020, called The Motive.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the work that he's done over the last 20 some years, 11 books, he declares that he wishes he would have written this book first.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really comes down to, if you're going to be in that seat as a leader, a manager, a supervisor, you have to check your motive.
Right.
Why are you in this position? And if you're in it for the right reasons, then that discomfort becomes, you know, something akin to going from your 20-pound dumbbells for your bicep curls up to 45s. Like, I know this is going to be hard. I'm going to have to work at it. I'm going to sweat. It's going to be difficult, but I have to do it because I want to get there and I want to be the best leader or boss I can be.
Right.
Does that cover it?
Yeah, that's great. And you make me think about, well, people that you and I have encountered where there's this resistance or this hesitation to step into the danger and mm-hmm. to have a frank and honest conversation. But yet on the other side of that, as a manager, this is classic boss hole. You don't have to nitpick and identify every flaw that your direct report or any of your direct reports demonstrate. And this is, quite frankly, I remember this when we were when we were raising our boys, just the phrase of benign neglect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of it, but do I really need to bring it up with this individual? There are some things you want to bring up, but you want it to be constructive. You want it to help be part of their growth and their development. But if you are constantly critiquing people, that is not going to instill or build that trust or that kind of relationship where they'll come to you with a challenge. Nice. So I think there's a balance. I think a good manager, a non-boss hole, uses that discretion of there's a balance between benign neglect and also being able to be brave and courageous and step into those difficult conversations with the intent of helping this person grow and also wanting to grow themselves. So no, I think that's a great explanation. I think very helpful for our listeners. Was that all of them? Was that the...
Oh, there's one more, John.
Okay.
And I think I would like to invite you to reveal the number one way to tell if you're a boss hole today.
Well, we're pretty sure that if you are the subject of one of our Boss Hole Chronicle episodes, you're most certainly a boss hole. And so we've had lots of great stories. I am quite certain that there are managers out there listening in going, oh my gosh, is that me? Did I? Mm-hmm. I think I did that. But mm-hmm. of course, we protect everything's anonymous. We don't reveal any names or anything else like that. But we encourage you to listen to these stories and do some real soul searching about your impact on the people around you. Mm-hmm. I always took my role as a manager very responsibly, and I made mistakes. I mean, I made really bad mistakes early on as a manager because I didn't know what I didn't know, but I was desirous to get better at it because I know I had to develop other people. Performance was going to be done through those people. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge responsibility. You now have an impact on the lives of human beings, and you should embrace that responsibility in a way that helps them to grow and helps them to find meaning and fulfillment in their work. So yeah, you may be the subject of one of our episodes.
That's right. And I think that's a great way to know. So we've shared 7 simple ways to know and maybe figure out if you're a boss hole. One thing you can do right now today is ask someone.
Yeah.
And ask someone you trust. Maybe it's your significant other. Maybe it's somebody on your leadership team or a colleague who's a peer, yeah, who's also a manager. Maybe it's one of your most trusted direct reports. But just be willing to say, you know, I've been doing some thinking and I just want to ask you this question and I beseech you to give me your honest answer. Do I have boss hole propensity? Like, am I a boss hole? Can I be a boss hole? And see what they say. How's that, John?
So what is it, Sarah? The first step in boss hole recovery is admitting you're a boss hole?
Yeah. maybe it's admitting, you know, discovering, in fact, you are a boss hole. But, you know, here's the other thought about that.
Yeah.
A boss hole in one environment or in one situation is not a boss hole in every situation.
Good.
So I think the same way we assume, what was that benign word you said?
Benign neglect.
Yeah. We can also say benign intent, that we only know what we know until we know more.
Right.
And as Coach Tomich, one of our most recent interviewees on the Boss Hole Chronicles, a subject matter expert, said, you know, when I know better, I do better. We want to give people grace to help you step into the danger. That's it for today, John.
Great job, Sarah. Awesome message. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
We'd like to thank our guests today on the Boss Hole Chronicles. And if you have a Boss Hole Chronicles story of your own, please email us at mystory@thebossholechronicles.com. Once again, mystory@thebossholechronicles.com. We'll see you again soon.